Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
The Bible almost says that I'm two people. Okay. It does not make me a schizophrenic. But the word of God actually defines us. What God says about us is true. And the Bible says that we actually have an outer man and an inner man. There's the outer person and the inward person. And it says here in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away. That's not major on that one. Yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Now, what is important in a meeting like this, or in any meeting where Christians come together to hear the word of God being preached, is that you understand that you have an outer man and an inner man. And that the inner man, as Peter says, is the hidden person of the heart. And it is that person that hears God. It's that person that receives from God. And that's why your whole person, your outward person and your inward person, need to be focused. And that's why you need to subdue your thinking that wants to go to some other subject other than what God wants to put into your heart today. To be actually focused on God doing something in your heart. And so this hidden person of the heart is where God speaks his word. And your inner person grows with the food of God's word. When you're a new Christian, it's called milk. You get milk, the milk of God's word, which is able to grow you up. But to reign in life, to bring his rule, the victory of faith, we need to grow up some more. I believe the church needs to grow up out of baby into mature spiritual people. Now, a spiritual person that is not concerned with all that's going on around them in their feelings, their emotions, their thinking, their circumstance, has learned to rule their senses by the hidden person of the heart, by what's on the inside. We need to learn to live from inside out, from the new creation out. Because the new creation rules everything. You are a ruler in life. But the key is this conference. The title of this conference is significant because it's called the Victory of Faith. And that's not just a slogan, it's something that needs to happen to you today. We're not having a conference for a slogan, we're having a conference to receive a word of faith that is going to bring you personally to victory. So I'm just going to read one more scripture from Acts chapter 14. And then we're going to pray together. Acts chapter 14. And that's verse 8. In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. I read that this morning. I got quite excited about this conference. Because the man was sitting there, not having yet seen victory in his body. And today we're going to sit here and maybe haven't seen victory. I don't believe you could be in a better place today than right here, right now, listening to Pastor Bengt bring God's word. Now, the guy had never actually seen a victory in his body. Now, it doesn't matter whether you've never seen the victory. What matters is that you receive faith this afternoon. Yes. So we don't sit in condemnation or guilt. We sit free because Jesus has set us free. Free from all guilt and condemnation in Christ Jesus. So we sit here free. We sit here free. Righteous in Christ. Made perfect forever. Accepted in the Beloved. Okay, so we sit here free. However, God wants you to win in particular areas in your life. Yes, that means a conference mustn't just be about being in a meeting. It's about having a purpose and a focus for God to change something and bring it to victory. Now, how did God bring this man who was crippled from birth to victory? First of all, he sat and listened. I believe it matters how you listen. I really do. I believe you can be in a meeting and how you listen affects what you get. I am in this meeting here to hear the word of God preached. And I am determined to listen without kind of anything stopping me hearing. So I'm going to listen intently. I might be sitting in an area where I need to see victory today, but that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on what God is saying to me this afternoon. Hallelujah. I mean, I just think this is freeing. And as he sat and listened to the word that Paul preached, Paul saw that he had faith. Because Paul wasn't looking at the outward person. He was looking at the inner person of the heart. You know, with your heart, you believe. With your inner person, you believe. Your heart is your believer.
Yes, that's right.
And I went to see a film last night in 3D. And it's awesome. You put on these three avatar, yeah. You put on these glasses and light. You can see depth. You can see beyond the flat screen, you know. You can like... And you're like, oh, initially you're like, ooh, ooh. Because you're responding to things almost coming out at you. But you see, faith gives a different depth. And Paul was looking deeper than the expression. This guy must have been like this, listening to the good news Paul was preaching. And his spirit was receiving. And once he had faith, because Paul said, I saw, looked at him and he saw he had faith. So Paul, preaching the word, put a deposit of faith in this man.
Yes.
Are you believing for a deposit?
Yes.
I believe we need to start believing God right from the beginning.
Yes. Yes.
And not just wait until like we get heated up.
Yes.
We're believing now. Okay, we're understanding spiritually now.
Yes.
And so when Paul saw he had faith, he said to the guy, get up and walk. He issued a command. And, you know, Paul didn't lay hands on him. He just told him to walk. I love it. I love it. It's so non-religious. You don't have to fall down to get a miracle. You don't have to puff and pant and shake. You don't have to feel anything. You just have to act on what God has put in your heart through his word. And so today we're going to begin by praying and thanking God that there are not just one person here, there are two people. And the one I'm concentrating on this afternoon is the inner person, my new creation, my new heart. And I'm saying, Father, I thank you. Your spirit lives in my heart. And that you're able to bring me to faith in particular areas where I haven't yet seen victory.
Amen.
Are you ready to pray for that?
Yes. Yes.
Who wants victory in any particular area? All of us. Let's stand and let's just begin to pray then.
Jesus is marvelous. How many loves Jesus here? Really loves him. You are in a very good place. Because He loves you more and you love Him. It's good for you. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. It's really a great privilege to be here. I like the title of this conference. I like faith. It's just something with it that makes the mountain moves and make things change here in this world. And I will do whatever I can to encourage you today. I will not discourage you. And I will give something which really I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say. And He wants to stir up things in your heart. And I'm glad we are not a religious club. I come together and think about certain interesting thoughts that might be interesting to think about. But we are involved in something much, much greater. We're involved in a God that has done everything possible. And a God that actually haven't given up on this world. No matter if the global warming or global cooling or whatever we talk about. And He hasn't given up on you. And a God that actually believe that it's still possible to change this world. And we will plug into that flow from heaven today. So I would like you to just close your eyes for a while. And if you haven't come into the presence of God, it's very easy to do that. You close your eyes, forget yourself, think about Jesus. Put a smile on your face. And you're there. I thank you, Jesus, that you are in this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the resurrection power, for the spirit of faith. Thank you for my friends that are here. I thank you for the grace and the ability to be able to share the word in a way so that brings forth fruit and makes difference in this region, in people's life. We ask you for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to go with me to a quite known scripture in the book of Matthew. I've been feeding on this scripture for quite some time now. And every time I read it, I get really excited. I mean, it should be that way when you read the Bible, anyway. And it's from Matthew chapter 17. And verse 20. And here it says, He said to them, Jesus, because of your little faith. That's encouraging. For truly I say to you, if you have faith, like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. I kind of like this verse. I especially like the last part. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, we are mature enough here in this building so we understand that this was not only encouraging words to the first disciples. But we know that every word that Jesus shared in the Bible, it's for you and me too. And we also know that even though it's 2,000 years later, today is 2010, at that time it was in the beginning, we know that those words are still valid today. And we also know that His word is spirit and truth. And we know that every word that Jesus said, every word, is very important. And He never did anything by coincidence. So I want to make a deep study together with you today in those at least two first sessions. And I want us to go into this scripture a little bit more. First, I have to give you a little background to that scripture. You see, the reason Jesus answered, because He answered, the first thing I read was an answer. And the answer was, because you have no faith, you have too little faith. That was His answer and His reply. Then, of course, there was a question before. And the question was from the disciples. And we need to go back a little bit and we need to see to what was going on here. Because something very interesting was going on. A day earlier, Jesus had asked three disciples, James, John, and Peter, to go with Him up to the mountain Transfiguration. That's not a very high mountain. It's also called Mount Tabor. And you can go there if you want. I've been there many times. It's not like the Swiss mountain, more like the British mountain probably. So it's not really impressive, but it's quite a big piece of dirt, I must say. I mean, it must be very heavy, especially if you are in the process of trying to move it. So what Jesus is talking about, actually, He is talking about something impossible. So He took Peter, John, and James up to that mountain, and He had a special treat for them. Now, I believe Jesus always had special treats for us. And of course, this special treat there on the mountain Transfiguration was that they are to have a special meeting with two very special guests, Moses and Elias. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have liked to miss that. I know we meet those old fellows later on, but it must be a very, very fantastic opportunity to meet them. So, of course, the disciples, they were not aware of that Moses and Elias would come, but they had a feeling that it must be something special. So they walked with Jesus up on a mountain, and they started to pray, and the disciples fell asleep. Great. And Moses and Elias came down, and the glory of God came. Jesus was glorified, and Peter wake up. Have you ever fallen asleep on a meeting? Huh? Now we can learn different things from different events. And one thing we can learn from this is don't fall asleep. I know it's Saturday afternoon. And maybe you are tired, you know. You've been working all week, but stay awake. Because that's a treat. God has something prepared for you. Anyway, Peter, he woke just before Elias and Moses took off. And Peter said something really that was just coming out of something. Not really from his spirit. He said something that was pretty confusing. He said, "Oh, Master, this is a great place to be. I want to build a tabernacle or a house or a bungalow. Actually, I want to build three of them here, up on this great mountain. One for Moses, one for Elias, and one for you, Master. And then we can spend the rest of our lives here. Wouldn't that be great?" And while Peter was speaking, the glory left. Now, I've learned over the years that sometimes it's time to speak and sometimes it's time to listen. And Moses and Elias, they took off. And then Jesus said, "Now it's time to go down from the mountain." And when they came to the foot of the mountain, the nine remaining disciples were standing there. And they were doing some kind of ministry. Because a father that had a son who was demon-possessed came to the disciples and they asked them, he asked them, whether they could cast the devil out of his son. And of course, by this time, the disciples had been walking with Jesus probably for around 2.5 years. And you ought to think that they must have picked up something. And of course, they had learned the methods, maybe. So when the father came with the son, the disciples says, yes, we can do it. We know how to do it. And then they started to exercise some kind of ministry, which was not really glorifying God, to be honest. Because the problem with that ministry was that it didn't work. Have you ever been trying to do something that didn't work? Of course not you here in Taunton, but I know at least one person, and that's the person talking right now, who has been trying to do things, but it didn't work. And then, of course, being so spiritual and humble, as I am, I have a lot of explanation for it. And I had been blaming a lot of different things for the things that didn't work. And one person that I blame quite a lot is God in the past. But I stopped doing that. Because I think I've matured. And I even stopped blaming the son, who was the victim of the demon. I mean, I know many people who would do that, actually. Who would say, well, the son there, he wasn't ready for a miracle. He had not been studying the word enough. Or he has not been in a good position. Or he didn't go to church last week. Or after all, he's not hardly a Christian. Or could blame the father. The father hasn't been doing his job. You know, sometimes I'm kind of frustrated about Christians. Not about you, so don't look at me like that. I'm frustrated about myself. Because I find out and I realize that, you know, sometimes we just want to have an explanation. And we're not really so much interested in the person that is suffering. But we want to have an explanation why this is happening. And you know, if you read Luke 9, you can read about that. You know, Jesus, it says, he saw a blind man. And the disciples, they started to ask the question, why is this man blind? Is this man blind because his father have sinned, or his grandfather have sinned, or his grand-grandfather have sinned, or is there a curse, is there a generation curse over him? Can you please explain for us, Jesus, because we need an explanation. Without an explanation, we are not satisfied. Please give us an explanation, and then we can have a conference about that. An explanation why that person is blind and why he's not getting healed. But whatever you do, don't dare to say that it would have anything to do with me. But we are not going to have a conference here. I'm not going to try to explain for you why you still haven't seen a breakthrough. I will not try to explain. I will give you the solution. I believe it's much more interesting to be a person that can give a solution to the problem then that can give an explanation to the problem. Now, Jesus didn't walk around explaining a lot of stuff. Jesus walked around and he gave the solution. That's why when Jesus answered the disciples in Luke chapter 9, he didn't say, or maybe it's John chapter 9, don't look there, look later. He didn't say, well, it's because of the generation curse. No. He said, the only reason this guy is blind is that he will get healed. Now chew on that for a while. Now that is really like, what's that? What kind of answer is that? I mean, this is what he's saying. The only reason that this man is blind is because he's gonna get healed. The only reason why that problem is because that's going to be a solution to that problem. The only reason why you have a mess in your family is because there's going to be restoration in your family. The only reason, you see, there's a different perspective. We talk about a different perspective. We are not talking about what we call in Sweden a frog perspective. You know what that is? You sit on the ground and you look up. And you try to explain and you try to understand why is things happening like this. No. Just like Pastor Judith said, you and I, what did you say? We are in Christ Jesus. I think you said so. Something already happened to us. Okay, we are inside and outside, but inside, we already have a lot of stuff. And we have the ability to see, as you said, beyond. Now, this is what Jesus did all the time. And you see, when Jesus and the three disciples came down from the mountain. And the nine disciples, I don't know how long time they've been exercising whatever they thought they were exercising. They were doing a ministry that absolutely didn't work. There was no anointing. There was no breakthrough. It was like ridiculous. And unfortunately, a lot of stuff like that is still going on. I remember the first time out, I tried to cast out the devil. It was terrible. I mean, I have just received Jesus. I was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was not living as I should. I was smoking around, sleeping around, a lot of different things. Nobody told me what was right and wrong, but I had received Jesus. And then I had a neighbor who came into I went into his room, we were talking about certain things, and then in front of my eyes, he tried to commit suicide, which was a bit scary experience. And I didn't know what to do. And before he tried to commit suicide, he started talking about Satan, and his eyes started rolling, and I realized this is a Satanist. It's like, and I had only heard about somebody who had read a half book by Derek Prince. And I only heard about someone who had read a half book about Derek Prince. And the reason he didn't finish the book, because he got so scared when Derek started talking about demonic activities, so he closed the book and said, ooh. And I looked at this, I knew that there was a demonic activity going on. I really felt sorry for my neighbor. He was a friend of mine. We played in the same band, actually. And he played drums, and that was terrible. But anyway, I decided I'm going to try to help him. So I talked with some of my friends. And one of those friends was a guy who had read the half book. So I said, let's go and, you know, we need to help him, because otherwise he's going to end up dying, you know, because we had to take him to the emergency ward because he tried to kill himself. And so we need to help him, otherwise he will die, and that would be terrible. So we need to cast the devil out. So I remember still today, we were young guys, you know, wild guys. And we were looking at each other and saying, do you know how to do it? I don't know how to do it, but we just do it, you know. And the guy who read half book, he said, well, I think I know. You know what we should do? We should ask the name of the devil. You know, that's what Derek says in the book or something like that. I don't know if he said it. But, you know, I heard, but we need to get a hold of him. Where can we find him? Oh, he's in his room. Let's go and get him. So we went, some guys, four or five guys, and we got hold of this poor fellow. And we said, we're going to deliver you from Satan. And he just looked at us. Bah! And he ran off. And we ran after. And we hunted him, ipped up on an attic. And we pushed him into a corner. It was dark. It was a very spooky place. And then I said to the guy who read a half book, I said, you start. He said, I don't know what to do. And the more we talked, the more these guys screamed and manifested. And then he said, what's your name? And, you know, he answered, Adolf Hitler or whatever. You know, it was a lot of different names that came out of this guy. And the more he spoke, the more scared we got. And we continued for 6 hours. And I was so afraid. I was so defeated. I was so frustrated. And he was not being set free. I remember I went to bed in my bed at night and I could hardly sleep because I was afraid. Because I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about faith. I didn't know anything about Christ in us, the hope of glory. I didn't know anything about the authority of the name of Jesus. I didn't know anything about the anointing. I didn't have the anointing. I tried, together with my friends, we tried to do the best we could, but the best we could didn't work. Because it doesn't work without faith. It doesn't work without Jesus. It doesn't work without anointing. Then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I came into the Word. And next time I faced up with the demoniac, I knew how to handle it. And you know what? It didn't take 6 hours. It took 30 seconds. Then he was delivered. So, you see, the disciples, they were doing ministry that was worthless. I'm sorry to say. Didn't do anything. Didn't give glory to anyone. Not even the disciples. It was shameful. And then Jesus come down from this mountain. And he's looking at the 9 disciples that was not with him. And he could hear the sound and the noise. And the Father, when he sees Jesus, he runs towards him. And he says, you know, can you do something about this situation? Because those guys certainly cannot. They've been trying very hard. They are worthless in ministry. And I can just imagine how they felt, the 9 disciples. Jesus is standing there, just been glorified, full of glory, full of the anointing. And they have his encounter with the unbelieving disciples. And Jesus looks at the disciples, and in one other place he says, Jesus sighs and he says, how long must I be around those guys? How long must I stay here with them? But then he says to the Son and to the Father, bring the Son here. And he has, I don't know what he's doing. He's not laying hands on him. He's just speaking. Come out. Bam. A demon left. And the Son is very happy. And the Father is very happy. But the disciples, happy, not happy, frustrated. I can guarantee you, they were frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated? Maybe you are right now. It's not always wrong to be frustrated. Because frustration can lead to action. Frustration can lead to that you actually open up more and you realize, I don't have it really. I need to understand something more, something I don't really understand. I need more revelation. Very good. So they come to Jesus and they ask him. It's not the first time they ask questions to Jesus. I'm sure every day they asked a lot of questions. And you know, it's no problem to ask Jesus questions. Jesus always wants to answer. Sometimes that's a problem among Christians. We don't ask enough questions. We are not showing enough interest. We're not showing enough interest from Jesus to tell us. We try only to figure things out ourselves. But you see, when we ask questions from Jesus, then he will answer. That's why he said about the helper that would come, that he will be a teacher. You know, when you are in a class, the best students are the ones that ask questions. When I'm teaching in a class, you know, if students ask me questions, I really like for students because I understand that they are interested. So I think it's very, very important to have that attitude. I mean, I'm asking questions. I asked questions today. I had some things that I wondered over. Why is this? I done this and this. Why is this? I sit in my car when I drove here. And then I sit in a hotel room and I ask this question. I'm not saying like this, oh, why is this? No, I'm asking Jesus, why is this? And then I listen. How do you listen? I learned this. Easy to listen. You know how I listen? I close my eyes. I close off my own self. And it takes 5 seconds. You can listen. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit speaking immediately. And he's saying, because of this and this. Because of this and this. They asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? After all, we are your disciples. After all, we've gone through the course. After all, we have actually already been in ministry. Because you laid hands on us and he told us to go out. And we saw the devil come out. Why didn't it work now? What is the problem? We are frustrated. And Jesus looked very graciously on them. And he said, because you don't have faith. That's encouraging, isn't it? You know, sometimes I hear people say that. I hear myself say that sometimes. And I realize, sometimes I don't have a right to say that. Because I don't show them the way out. But you see, one thing you must know with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus and with the Father. They will never leave you in a position where you just know, I don't have it. Now that would be terrible, wouldn't it? In one way, that answer is the easiest answer you can give. Because that can explain everything. You come to me after the meeting and you say, I have this problem. What is the problem? I said, because you don't have faith. And I would be right. But maybe I wouldn't help you. Because you see, the faith teaching and the ministry of faith, the spirit of faith is not hitting people in the head, accusing them for not being good enough. Now that is not the ministry of Jesus. You will never find Jesus do that, but Jesus always leads people through. He always tells the truth. Because of course it was true that the disciples couldn't cast the devil out because they didn't have faith. They couldn't do it. And of course it's true that this city, is it a city or a town? City, not town. That this town has not yet been totally turned upside down. It could have been. Of course. Why? Because you are here. It would be easy for me to say, or for anyone, the reason why that doesn't happen is because lack of faith. But you know, and then I stop the meeting and I go back home. Nice. Pastor Judith wouldn't even call me after that. She wouldn't greet me at faith camp. It doesn't help anything, does it? You know, it wouldn't help either if I would stay here and I would tell you amazing stuff. I can do that. This year I've seen amazing stuff, miracles, signs and wonders. And I've seen it because I have faith for it. And I could give a very nice picture of that. Paint it up. Make you thrilled and excited. But at the same time, leave you in a situation where I said, I have it, but you don't have it. I will not do that. But I don't believe it's true. I actually believe that you have faith. Now that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Now, when Jesus is talking to you today, he's not talking to you as somebody who doesn't have it. You know, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit, the down payment. You receive a new nature. You receive the nature of God. You become a believer. Now, what is a believer? It's somebody who has faith. Isn't it? The first Christians, they were known as believers in Jesus Christ. They were known because they had faith. You know, they talked about the Christians. They didn't talk about the way they looked, the nice churches they have. What was the rumors was about the faith. Because the faith they had, they activated. And that faith changed and turned this world upside down. Amen? Let me tell you what was the turning point in my life in ministry. Really the turning point. When I stepped out of a situation of condemnation, of lack, of thinking and believing that I was not good enough, that I didn't have enough, and I wasn't ready, I wasn't prepared, but I had to wait. And hopefully someday somebody will come and lay hands on me and then something will take off. You know what happened? The day when I realized that the Bible says that I have it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, we all have been given a measure of faith. We all have been given a measure of faith. The scripture that Judy was reading before, it says that we have all received the spirit of faith. Now how have we received the spirit of faith? How have we received the measure of faith? We received that when we received Jesus. Because you see, Jesus had faith. In his nature, there is faith. In God's nature, there is faith. He is faith. Everything that he's doing by faith. He even looks at you today here in Taunton on this Saturday afternoon. And he looks at you from a perspective of faith. And he will never change that because he believes that you and I, we can do it. I said he believes that you and I, we are successful. He believes that it's possible for us to break through. I mean, he has a reason to believe it because he has already broken through for you and me. So Jesus didn't leave the disciples with a revelation that they didn't have enough faith. But he continues and he gives us a fantastic revelation about faith. And I want to talk a little about that. Jesus says, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith, even as a mustard seed, you will be able to speak to this mountain, move from there to there." Okay. So why is he saying that? There's a reason for everything Jesus is saying. What do we know about the mustard seed? He's saying in Matthew 13, he's saying the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the seeds. And he also says that the kingdom of God is within us. So there's something special with the mustard seed. And sometimes I think it's a bit frustrating when I'm speaking to people. Because I don't know where you are. I mean, I knew Paul. He could see faith in that person. It was a revelation from God. But to be honest with you, I don't have a clue whether you have faith or not. Of course, I know you're a believer. You have faith. But from the outside, I cannot tell whether you have faith or not. Maybe you have a bumper sticker on your car that says, "I have faith." Probably that's a sign that you don't have it, but it's another sermon. You know, but Jesus said, even if you have as faith as a mustard seed, so the mustard seed thing there must be something important. We must understand, why is he using the picture of a mustard seed? Well, first of all, I believe that he knows the response that you and I would give when he reveals to us that we have faith. The first response would be, and unfortunately, most of the time still is, "Yeah, we have faith, but the faith is too small." Almost every time when I'm teaching faith, and I'm doing that all over the world in many places, in faith conferences, in different places, in Bible schools, colleges, seminars, it doesn't matter. I mean, I can bring a lot of things about faith, but almost every place, somebody comes to me after the meeting, and they say to me, "Brother Bengt, can you pray for me?" I said, "I will get faith." And I said, "No, I refuse. I cannot give you something that you already have." "What do you mean?" I said, "I can rub your head till you lose your hair. It wouldn't help." You see, the problem with us, human beings, is that we are programmed negatively. We are programmed to think about what we don't have. Have you ever been thinking about something that you don't have? Of course you have. Don't look at me like that. You think, if you're sick, you think about you don't have a health. When you're poor, you think about I don't have money. When things are tough in your marriage, you think about I don't have victory in my marriage. When things are tough with your children, you think about, oh, I have a problem with my children. And then you come to church, And the pastor is preaching that it's possible to have victory. It's possible, actually, to live in victory. Possible to have healing, to live a life in healing. It's possibly to live a life of breakthrough. And then immediately that battle starts. Oh yeah, it's possible, but I don't have this. So now we are talking about faith, and I'm saying to you, and I'm going to say to you all day, that you have faith. Now the problem is not that God has not given you faith, because fundamentally, He has given you a measure of faith. And you have that faith. But it's possible for you and me to walk all of our life without understanding and without using what has been given to us. You see, the reason, I believe one of the reasons why Jesus is using the parable of a mustard seed is because it's the smallest of all the seeds. And that's why I cannot see on you whether you have faith or not. Sometimes I wish that Jesus would have said that your faith is like a watermelon. It would have been much easier. Because then all the believers would walk around like pregnant women. Because the Spirit is here and this is where the faith is, isn't it? And it would be pretty obvious who has faith or not. But Jesus didn't make it that easy, did he? I spent quite a lot of time at airports. And I must say, I don't like it. I'm very tired of airports. Every week, I'm in one or another airport. And especially since 9/11, when the terror attacks came. You know, all those security things that you have to go through before you can board a plane. And sometimes they pick me out for special check. I don't know why. And they take you into a special room. And they ask those questions. Do you have something sharp on you? I said, no. Do you have explosive? I said, no. Do you have bomb? No. And it happened quite a few times. It's boring. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a preacher. And they don't believe that. So I show them my Bible. Yeah, it's okay. We checked you. But sometimes I'm tempted to answer differently. Do you have something explosive? Yes. Where? You will not be able to see it. Because it's very small. You can put me in the x-ray machine and you wouldn't see it until I activate it. But when I activate it, I can move Heathrow up to Scotland. Because you see, what I have is so powerful, but it's at the same time so small. But it's explosive. Now I suggest you don't do that. Because then you probably would have to spend quite a lot of years at Guantanamo Bay. And that's not so nice. So don't do it. But sometimes I'm tempted. Because there is a truth in that, you see. But it's possible to walk around all life without knowing you have it. Now, the second reason why I believe Jesus used the parable of a mustard seed is because the mustard seed is a seed. And a seed is useless until it's being planted. So it means your faith, excuse me, but this is what I believe, your faith is useless until you activate it. And you can identify your faith with a seed. Now that helps me a lot when I think about it. Because I know that it's possible for me to plant a seed by faith. And that seed is full of faith because it carries the nature of God. So I believe that is two of the reasons why Jesus is using the mustard seed. But I think it's even more into it. So I decided some time ago, I want to make my own study. I want to have my own revelation. You know that you can have revelation? It's quite exciting. You know, it's possible. You seek the Word of God, you ask the Holy Spirit, and He will show you things. Not strange things. But you know, it's always good to carry something that God has brought afresh to you. So I Googled. I have a lot of revelation when I Google. I Google on the right side, so. But you know, I decided I'm going to Google mustard seed. And I was really excited when I read about the mustard seed. Because I realized that the mustard seed have some characteristic which are just fantastic. I could give you 15 different points on that. I will give you three. The first thing I found about the mustard seed was that actually the mustard seed you can plant in every climate zone. Now that was not an American preacher who wrote a book about it, but I Googled it and it was science that told me that. You can plant a mustard seed in every climate zone. You know, when I read that, I was kind of happy. Because that confirmed something that I have experienced the last 30 years. Because actually this year, it's 30 years since I preached the gospel the first time. That's a long time, isn't it? Of course, I was 6 years when I started, so that was... I still remember what I was preaching on. And I still remember the feeling when I sat down. I decided I will never do this again. And I guess the people that listened to me, they thought, I hope he doesn't do it again. But then the Holy Spirit started to work with me and then things changed. But you see, my experience and my belief, even from the beginning, is that the faith that you and I have, the faith that God has given to you and me, the faith that the Bible says overcomes this world, the faith that Jesus said, with this faith, nothing is impossible. That faith works in every climate. That works everywhere. And there are no circumstances whatsoever. Sorry I'm shouting, but I just felt a little bit. There are no circumstances whatsoever that would have the power to quench that faith. Now that is so important to understand. It's so important for you to understand right now, especially when you are facing up difficult situations. Because you see, there is something with a mustard seed faith that God has given to you, because that seed of faith that you have is explosive. And it's changing this world. But you see, it's very important that we understand that it is so. I remember some years ago, I was flying from the Far East and I had to change plane in Istanbul, Atatürk Airport in Istanbul. Istanbul I've been to many times before. I had been to many times before and we've been doing some ministry there. When I came to the airport, I hear the Holy Spirit say to me. It came very clear. I had been flying all night. I was very tired, but I knew this is God speaking. And he said to me like this. He said, Bengt, I want you to take an initiative. I want you to rent a building in the center of the city, in the most Islamic area. And I want you to have open evangelistic crusades there. And I knew that's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. It's forbidden. The police will arrest you and the Muslims will stone you. And because Istanbul is like a bastion. Nobody done that before. So I kind of liked the idea. I had friends in Istanbul that I knew since before. So I stayed one day in Istanbul and I contacted them. And I said, this is what I want to do. And they looked at me and they said, no, forget it. It's impossible. You must understand that this is Turkey. And this is Istanbul. You cannot do things like that here. I heard that many times before. About many places. But every time I hear things like that, I have felt something inside of me is reacting. And I remember, especially in the beginning of my Christian walk, I had a very hard time defining what that was. It was like, I almost felt like I was rebelling against that. But I learned after the years that actually the faith that you have, now I want you to listen now, the faith that you have doesn't accept the word impossible. Now that's not just a slogan, but that's a fact. And you see, so when somebody is communicating that to you, then something is reacting on the inside. Now sometimes people don't understand because they are baptized in a wrong kind of Christianity. Because they're baptized, they think they have to be nice all the time and they have to accept, que sera, sera, whatever happened, happened. And this is the situation. We are not, we must accept. This is our fate. But the Bible says very clearly, the faith you and I have has the power to turn things upside down. The faith you and I have, when we activate it, nothing will be impossible. So the first thing I believe, it's very important for us to accept this. That actually, what has moved into you and me, into our inner being, just like Pastor Judith said, that something new has come there. And a part of that nature is faith. And that faith never accepts impossibilities. So, I did rent a big building in the center of Istanbul. And you that have been around there a bit, you know it's impossible. Nobody done it before. And we did. And it worked. And we had more non-saved people on our meetings than anyone ever had. Until that day in Istanbul. I'm not saying that to brag, but it's a fact. And we saw a fantastic breakthrough. And I repeated that during 2 years' time. Two new churches was planted as a result. And you know what happened the first time? When we accepted this, but actually the impossible thing is possible. You know what happened? In the last meeting, a lot of people got healed. Of course, that happens always, you know. And satellite TV came. TRT. That's a Turkish satellite television station. Two TV guys came. And they came because they've heard that something suspicious was going on in that building. And they wanted to film and put it on the news and warn people from coming there. But what happened was, then they should interview some people. They interviewed somebody who had just been healed from some severe disease. So they interviewed her live on TV. And then they broadcast to me while I was preaching. So what happened was that the TV team got so impressed. So they gave a very good report. And what happened later was that, of course, this is broadcasted all over the world in Turkey, because you can see TRT in every nation of the world, because it's a big satellite channel. And they even had a contact name of somebody that they could order Bibles from. And that man, he had so many phone calls and he sent out so many Bibles. You see, there was like something just started to happen. That was a roller coaster. It was like a snowball effect of the whole thing. 2 weeks later, I was in Germany, and I went into a Turkish restaurant. And the owner of the restaurant, when he saw me, he started shouting. He pointed at me and said, "Hey! That's you!" I said, "Yeah." "You preach on the TV! I saw you. Come on. I give you a free kebab. No problem." So that was a blessing for me as well. But you see, why I'm saying that is that we all have stories, you know. I can give you more stories. But this is a fact. And we need to understand that there is no climate. There is no place in this city, town, sorry. Soon it will be a city. The Queen will come here and declare this a city if I continue. This town, there are no places, there are no families, there are no areas, there are no nothing. That is impossible. None of your friends. Because your faith has it. And now, he wants you to identify that, to see that. And the faith that you already have actually has the power to overcome that big challenge of yours. Just start to thank Jesus. Just say like, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the faith you have given to me. Thank you for the parable of the mustard seed. Thank you for the character of my faith. Thank you that you have said that nothing will be impossible for me, but everything will be possible. Thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you for that, Jesus." And you know what I learned also about faith? I told you, I cannot rub your head until you get faith. But I learned this because faith is a seed. And Jesus is talking a lot about speaking, okay? So while speaking, we release. So what I'm doing right now, even if you are not aware of it, I am releasing things into your spirit. And you know, every time when I pray for someone, every time when I give my testimony to someone, every time I sit and counsel someone, I have this in mind, you see. I'm not dealing with natural things. I'm dealing with supernatural things. I know I have those seeds. And the great thing is, when I give it out, I get more. So it's not that I have one seed and I give it out and then, okay, that's it, I die now. No. I give out a seed and then it comes back. And I give more and then I get more. You know, that's why for me, I mean, honestly, I think it's exciting. Because I can say things now, and if you're clever, you listen. You receive it. And then you can take that. And you can apply it. I will tell you a lot of other stuff next lesson. So let's have a cup of coffee.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823-664-186. Or overseas visitors, 0044-1823-664-186. Or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.